Old and in the Way Sisters. Laugh and learn with me, Janet.
And me, Nancy. The Bitchin' Sisters.
We're growing old in a new world with skyrocketing costs, crazy fashions, changing norms, and with limited time back.
Don't say that. Yes. We'll entertain you and inform you as long as we can.
You're sounding desperate.
Let's look back at how it was and ahead to what's coming.
It's spring and time to start talking about gardens. I'm going to talk about ghosts in the garden.
Ghosts?
Let me explain. Okay. I have a garden like you do, and I started thinking about it. You know, spring, the choices I've made, the vision that inspired me, and the mistakes, of course.
Well, we learn forever.
Yeah. My Polish grandmother, Anna, Grandma Crook, to little me, lived in Pearl River, New York. She had a big vegetable garden, chickens, doves, a grape arbor, and a flower garden. Whenever there was a major family event, like a wedding or a marriage or birth, Grandma would plant a tree to commemorate the occasion.
And do you know what happened to those trees?
Well, they're probably quite big by now.
Oh, no. The state of New York wanted to have a highway put in right through her house. They made her move, and they demolished the trees, and then guess what?
What?
They never made the highway.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, because she had done that, I thought, oh, that's a great idea. So therefore, when I turned 50, we ceremoniously...
You're 50?
Yeah, right. We ceremoniously planted a beautiful Canadian hemlock tree in our little front yard near the house. Now, 31 years later, at age 81, it towers over the cabin, blocking the sun. And when you go out in the winter and there's been a snowstorm, you walk under that tree, and if the wind is blowing, floop, you have this huge mound of snow that falls on you.
And you know you're alive.
Yeah, right, there's that. But this was a family tradition. So then when our mother died, almost 30 years ago now, we planted a spruce tree up on the hill behind the house at the edge of the woods. You were there for her little memorial ceremony.
I remember it well, her ashes.
And her ashes are under the tree, buried there. When our daughter died 7 years ago, we buried her ashes with those of her grandmother. And my wish is to have my ashes buried together with them. I sit by the tree often, reminisce, think about them. It makes me think about them.
It's a nice memory tree.
Yeah, it is. And it has pine cones now coming out of it. Then there's the monster spruce near the house. It was once a skinny little shoot, and our son Aaron felled a dead tree near the little spruce, and it landed on it and bent it entirely in half.
Oops.
Yeah, Aaron propped it up and said, oh, I'm sorry. Now it's about 40 feet high.
Wow.
Yeah.
It recovered.
Somehow. The other huge, tall, majestic conifer near the cabin came to us in an envelope from the American Arbor Foundation.
Oh, yeah, they sent me things like that. I planted them.
And did you send them a quarter back like they wanted? I hope we did.
You had to in order to get it.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, there are other trees. Pine tree seedlings brought back from down south by our tree planting friends like Jim many years ago. Now they're all towering pines shading the cabin. And there's a white lilac on the path to the cabin. It was planted in memory of our daughter, Abby.
So now when you walk up towards your house, you have all these memory trees.
And it reminds us of Mark's dear friend, Donnie. He and his wife gave us money to plant that tree. So we think about them, too. Then there are many hydrangeas that began with the ones that Sharon and I dug on what was then called the government land about 40 years ago. Sharon and I are still friends. I called her yesterday. We talked. Those hydrangeas all began with our friendship out in the woods.
Neat.
And I don't know whether you remember these, but the bright yellow Missouri primroses that bloom in the spring, they came from Dad's garden over in Toma.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're still coming up out there. they endure. He was the one with the green thumb in the family. You know, mother couldn't grow anything, no. As she said. We have forsythia in our backyard. Well, we also had it in Northport, Long Island, New York when I was a child, so of course I had to have it here. And daffodils. We had those in Northport. And peonies. I grow them because I grew up with them in Northport and at my other grandparents' home in the Catskill Mountains. And those grandparents also had phlox, so of course I have phlox. And that little blue flower that grew everywhere in Grandma Barrett's garden, boy, I hunted for that and I finally found it. And now I have it everywhere. I found out too late
it's a weed.
Yeah, right. You may have made those mistakes too, but really, I walk through my garden, my yard here out in the country in a little hollow with spring bursting into being. I walk through my garden and memories, people, places confront me, but, you know, good memories, different places that I loved, people who influenced me throughout my life, my childhood, my loved ones, family.
It's perfect. And actually, in trying to visualize Janet's garden, it's more like a prairie garden. It's not like a manicured garden. They all seem to like be friends with each other. And it's beautiful. It's very harmonious. And there's paths through it. So whenever we get together as a family, we inevitably, part of the day, we, you know, two people at a time or three or whatever, you go on different little paths and you see all that's blooming. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you very much. I must not have made too many mistakes. But, you know, over the course of the 43 years that I've been here, things change. The landscape changes. There's much more shade. But thank you for appreciating it.
And for me, I love gardens, too. And I used to have, like, 13 gardens at my house. But now I only have about five. But my favorite and biggest garden is my Asian garden. This garden has taken 10 years to bring to fruition.
Nothing. Is that the one you call the wabi-sabi or something?
Yeah, wabi-sabi garden. Because that means, like, as it is.
Okay.
I started it the year I retired. And it, too, is filled with mostly perennials, but also dwarf larch, spruce, variegated maple, black locust. I have a birch that we got from the woods, and hackberry trees. I even have bonsai plants that I planted in there after, you know, the season. And they've spread quite a bit by now. The garden's so full, you won't believe this, Janet, but I have a map.
No.
I have a map and I have to label everything in it just so I don't forget what I've planted.
This sounds like
where.
Way too much work. This sounds too serious.
And especially this year, because after the winter, I kind of forgot a couple of the names and it's like, oh, thank goodness I have them labeled.
That's the only thing you forgot?
No. Every year for a while for my birthday, my husband would surprise me by either making me something for the garden or contributing to it. For instance, he made me a large Korean red bridge with copper post caps on it.
I didn't know he made that.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
I showed him the one in the catalog, and it was like $500, and it was tiny. Hmm. And he said, you buy the wood, and I'll make you a big one. So that's okay. What he did. And then on either end of the bridge, he bought me these giant flat rocks to step down from the bridge to the garden floor. Hmm. And under the bridge is a dry pond of rock, gravel, that I shoveled in when he was out west elk hunting for a week, so I knew he couldn't complain. And then another year, he made me four large wooden squares so I could plant a tree in each one. And then sometimes he'd surprise me with huge rocks he'd bring home to place strategically among the flowers. And then he built me, this is my favorite one, he built me a very wide three-sided wooden bench that I painted black, and it's right in front of the willow tree, so the willow tree hangs over it. And I have a fire pit in the middle of the three sides and a pagoda dogwood tree on the fourth open side. I call it Asian, or wabi-sabi, because I have a lot of Asian garden art in it, from a pagoda to several Buddha. I have these three Buddha creatures, guys, and one of them is like, hear no evil, so he's holding his ears, and one's see no evil. He's holding his
I think
eyes.
I get the picture.
Okay, good. And then I have bell chimes and Eastern metal artwork. And
oh, this
I have
is so much different than my garden.
I know. I make a scavenger hunt for little kids who come.
That's
I have
a good
pictures
idea.
Of each item on a paper, uh-huh. laminated, and uh-huh. then they run around and try to find them. And that's always fun. So all throughout the garden are concrete steps amidst the mulch to lead you through the garden. Some are concrete rectangles, other are pebbled rounds, and I got that idea to vary them from a visit to China one year. And there's also two large wooden black arches that invite a person into the expanse, depending on which side you want to start from. There's a plethora of birdhouses, bird baths, and bird feeders, and every year we have returning in the spring, like this week, bluebirds, cardinals, orioles, hummers, finches, juncos, you name it. They consider it their sanctuary, and I consider it mine too.
Well, it sounds wonderful. I've seen it. It is wonderful. When you started that garden, I thought, this is a little weird out on this empty, flat place.
Yeah.
And then after the years have gone by, it's a little land all of its own. It's really lovely. I remember sitting down there and enjoying friendship with some people I had known for years. I'm glad you did it.
Thank you.
We come to you twice a month with new episodes. Some are funny, some are serious, some are just our crazy opinions. I hope you enjoyed our show.
Me too. It's been a pleasure.
Music by Hall and Sidnor.
Sometimes things aren't what they seem to be. Sometimes we see just what we want to see. Like a nearsighted monkey up a lemon tree, singing, "Oh, bananas here are just for me." Boom, boom. Mama wants, Mama gets. Bump, bump.